Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. Proverbs, chapter 25. I'd like to look at two verses of Scripture this morning, verses 21 and 22. Proverbs 25, 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now this blessed truth of showing kindness, mercy, to those who are our enemies was first declared in the law. Exodus 23:4 says, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. When the Lord walked upon this earth, he honored the law by exposing the gross distortion by the Pharisees and set forth the truth of the law to his hearers. In Matthew 5:43-45, it says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. The Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to pen this truth in Romans 12:19-20. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But now this divine principle of love and mercy toward those that hate us, use us, is not found because of sin within the natural man. I'll tell you what we think. We seek revenge at the drop of a hat. We want those that have treated us disrespectfully to be treated disrespectfully. We want those who have heart to hurt us, we want them to hurt. And if our enemy hungers or thirsts, let him starve. Let him die of thirst. Now that's just the way we think. But with the impartation of a new heart, there's a love that a believer possesses, even to those who are his enemies, that wasn't there. Before he was converted, there was no sympathy. There was no mercy. There was no kindness. And here's the bottom line. Without going into a long discourse on how we ought to treat others, I don't want to be mean to people. I really don't. I understand that, you know. But here's the bottom line. Let's get down to the spiritual part of it. That's where the prophet's going to be. The world, according to the word of the Lord, is the enemy of God's people because they're the enemies of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It doesn't have a heart to be in subjection to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. The Lord speaking to his disciples said in John 15:19, if ye were of the world, the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know why? According to the word of the Lord. Do you know why the world and its religion hates God and hates God's people? Because God does as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. That's the reason. The world wants to have a few rules and regulations to do. Let me do them. Let me check off like that little card I saw. Check off all the boxes. And then I've earned my way to be in heaven. But that's not what the scripture says. Almighty God has mercy on whom he will. He chooses. The Lord says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore, the world hateth you. But though the world hates us for who we believe, who we love, who we trust, is there still now not a heart of compassion within God's people? Mark, you read that passage of scripture. I thought, Lord, thank you for putting that passage of scripture on his heart. Brother, my heart's desire, prayer to God, is that Israel might be saved. I do understand. I get it. Until we're called out of darkness, there is no love for God. There's no love for God's people, especially no love for God's preachers. Because they're dead. I understand that. But you give a man, a woman, by the grace of God, a heart be given them. We want God to have mercy. I want him to have mercy. I know that the world hates the scriptures. I know that. When they understand what's being said, when they hear what's being said. But if there was one truly hungry or thirsty, humanly speaking, is there not compassion? Did the Lord take, five loaves and two fish and feed the multitudes? He looked at Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. There's compassion for men and women and a believer. I want God to have mercy. I would desire God to have mercy on everybody in this room today. I think to myself, I see those that know not the Lord. And in my mind, I'm thinking, if the Lord takes you out of this world, I know what's going to happen. According to these, I know what's going to happen. I pray, as I've told you before, I pray. What about their souls? Are our enemies, and I'm talking about those that know not the Lord. That's, I'm using scriptural language. I'm not making this up. The world hates you. How do I know that? The Lord told me they do. I didn't know that before. I thought everybody liked me. But now let me ask you this. Are our enemies, those that know not our God, not in need of spiritual bread and drink of the drink of heaven, the fountain of life? Are they not in need? Yes, they are in need. But do they know it? Do they know it? No. No. Why? They're not hungry. Why? They're dead. They're dead. When we were in Mexico, a few times we'd go, we were there usually at about the same time. It's in October. And in Mexico, they have a celebration. It's called the Day of the Dead. It's right around Halloween. Day of the Dead. And Cody took us one time, and we went out, and there was this huge, big cathedral, big courtyard out there. And there were these little huts. They build these little huts. They're made with palms and stuff like that. And they put them right on top of a grave. The families do. And for the Day of the Dead, they go out there and they would prepare the person that had deceased their favorite meal. Cooked up that favorite meal. Chuck, remember this thing? We go and they'd set that meal inside that little hut right there by the grave. And they said that was that the deceased might smell the savor. And I'm thinking, they're dead. They're not hungry. They're not hungry. Dead people are not hungry, and they're not thirsty either. As our bodies shut down, and we get closer and closer to dying, I read where hunger is just not there anymore. They're just not hungry. It's just the natural hunger and thirst is just not associated with death. So are they in need of eating? Yes. Are they in need of drinking of the water of life? Yes. But are they hungry? No. Here's the thing. I don't know who's hungry and who's not. I don't know who they are. So the Lord has commanded me to do something. You go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. You tell them of the bread of heaven. You tell them of the water of life. You tell them. When our Lord, in that verse of scripture I just read here, you've heard, I say unto you, you love your enemies. Is that not what he did? We were enemies in our minds, Neil. And he said, concerning his people, his elect, I've loved you with an everlasting love. This is what he's telling us to do. You love your enemies. Enemies in our minds, not his. But his, but ours. Bless them that curse you. Did he not bless us, his people? How did he bless us? Pronounce a blessing is what that is. Pronounce a blessing. Moses said, ask the Lord, would you show me your glory? And he said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. That's a blessing. You bless them that curse you. And did we not curse him? Our hearts and mouths. I'll not have this man rule over me. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. What did he do? He laid down his life while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Did the Lord not pray for us? In John 17, listen to this. I'm talking about, you talking about he prayed for us before we were converted? John 17. He's talking in his high priestly prayer. He's talking concerning his apostles here. He said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I'm so thankful that the Lord would pray for me before I knew him. He knew me. I didn't know him. So whenever we see this divine truth of concerning mercy, compassion, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And before I was even hungry, before I was alive in Christ, he had to make me so, then make me hungry. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be fed. Here we were, dead, trespasses and sins, didn't know him. I couldn't have lifted up my free will. I didn't even have a free will. My will was dead, trespasses and sins. He came into this world to do the will of him that sent him. And he said, this is the will of him that sent me to finish the work of redemption. John 6:40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, that is, that beholds him by faith and believeth on him and trusts himself, hath everlasting life. And I will raise him up the last day. So, concerning God's people, they're the only ones that are hungry. Like I said, you got to be alive to be hungry. I understand before men are converted out of darkness, death, sins, before there's a hunger, a lust for the things, the dregs of this life. I understand that. But to hunger and thirst after righteousness, a man, a woman got to be made alive. There's got to be life imparted. So concerning that blessed truth of, you know, if your enemy hunger, you feed him. That's what the Lord did. Made him alive, made him hungry, and fed him. And then after he made her alive, now she realizes her hunger. The Lord said in Song of Solomon 5:1, I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. He said, that's my garden, my people. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. And how did he do this? Well, the scripture says, verse 22, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. What he has done for us, this heaping coals of fire, that's the setting forth of the glorious power of our Lord to melt our hearts with the fire and the coals of his love. That's what that's talking about. It's not talking about vengeance. No. Didn't our heart burn within us as he opened unto us the scriptures? Listen to this precious passage of scripture, Song of Solomon. Talk about that burning, you know, when God pours out those coals of fire upon our heads, speaking of his mercy, his power, and his word. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. This is a beautiful passage of scripture. Verses 2 to 8. Shulamite, the bride, she admits something. I sleep, but my heart waketh. The believer knows that there's a drowsiness about us. We know that. We admit that. Somebody said, I'm telling you, he's just always on fire for the Lord. Have you? I've never met a believer that talks like that. They love Christ, but you know what they say? Oh, how dull I find myself to be. This is what the believer says. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Here's what, that was the word of the Lord. Now here's what she says. Here's what we say. I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels, my heart was moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. This is what happens when God in his power heaps the coals and fires of his love, of his word. And he convicts us. Oh, how could I do that? How could I treat him with disrespect like that? Oh, I feel so bad. I'm telling you, when I find myself just times of saying something and the words come out of my mouth and I knew it didn't come out right, but it should have been, and I'm thinking, why don't I just be quiet? Scripture says, She gave him that flimsy excuse. Well, I'm already in the bed. I've kind of laid down. I've washed my feet already. I don't want him to defile them. My beloved put his hand in by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open them to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh and fingers of sweet-smelling myrrh. Where he has been is what she's saying. Where he had his hand on the door, you know, she said, when I put my hand there, I could smell him. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchman that went about the city found me and smote me with the word. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. My heart is broken. If your enemy, the Lord says, is hungry, you feed him. That's what he did. If he's thirsty, you give him water to drink. That's what he did. Thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. That blessed word that goes forth in mercy, that's the power of God unto salvation, unto comfort, unto reviving. The Lord said in Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire? Like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The Lord has recompensed good toward us who gave him before we knew him, and even after we know him, disrespect. The love of God has constrained us. That's what pulls us. Jehovah, the scripture says, has rewarded him. This I'm gonna see if I can make good on this in closing. Listen to this scripture. Now, this last verse, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, that is, at the Lord's mercy to his people, making his word to come to them in power and strength and convicting power. Blow, O north wind, that's what scripture says in Song of Solomon 4. Blow, O north wind, upon my garden. Blow, O south wind. Convict my people and comfort them. Comfort them. Thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The Father, speaking to the Son, says in Psalm 2:8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy inheritance. Now that promise can only be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. I am the heathen. So who's going to get an inheritance? Not me. I'm the heathen. This is the Father speaking to the Son. Now, as the Son of God, nothing can be given unto him that's not his by right. He's one with the Father. One with the Spirit, God Almighty, the mighty three in one. One God, set forth in three persons. One God. But as the submissive mediator, the glorious head of his church, the obedient Son of righteousness who humbled himself before God. Now this, I'm talking about submission that can only be perceived by faith. I can't even enter into this. Here is the willing Lamb of God who humbled himself, who made himself of no reputation, made himself the lowest of the low. And again, I believe it, but I just say, Lord, how can these things be said of you? He who submitted himself, by faith he walked. Concerning him, ask of me, the Father said, And I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thine inheritance. His kingdom that was given him by the Father as the Father's reward to him who saw the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. This was finished. God saw it. And God was the Father was the first one to trust him. That's Ephesians 1:11. The first one to trust Christ. The Father trusted him. He knew what he was doing. And as the reward for his sufferings, again, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, for the reward of his sufferings, of his obedience, of his death, again, a truth that we can only perceive by faith, the Father expresses unto him, you ask. You ask. As the great high priest, you ask for the kingdom and the uttermost parts of the earth. For your possession, you ask, I'll give it to you. They shall be given unto him. Somebody say, I just don't see how the Lord could be praying unto the Father and the Father be hearing the prayer of the Son. Listen to this. John 17, verse 11. Here again, that's that high priestly prayer. Here's the Lord praying. Now the Lord is praying. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You think he's praying for his people? You think he's praying? You think he's asking as a great high priest? You ask of me. Here's the federal head. Submission that is holy, unwavering, for his glory and our good. And we, by the grace of God, are his reward. We, by the grace of God, are his reward. And he's ours. I pray God grant unto us faith. Lord, increase my faith. I pray that the Lord give us faith, love, to love our enemies, be faithful. And loving our enemies, I'll tell you the best thing in the world that we can do for them. I'll tell you the best thing in the world we can do. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. You're going to hear all kinds of answers. Invite somebody to come. You'll have all kinds of excuses. They'll have this, that, and the other. I can't. Invite them to come. Tell them the truth concerning Christ. And I pray God be pleased to bless it for his glory and our good, their good. Amen. All right.